Good morning, everyone. Will you say good morning to your neighbor? We welcome you to Christ Commission Fellowship, and if this is your first time, we would like to invite you again into our welcome room after the service. We want you to come see us if you have any prayer requests, any concern. There's a room dedicated especially for you at the back. There are some free coffees and biscuits for you. If you want to know more about CCF, please do drop by at the Welcome Center. We have been studying the book of Malachi, and I'm wondering if you know the theme of the book of Malachi, at least as we speak from here in the pulpit. What's the theme so far of the book of Malachi? Worship. Okay, worship. We've been talking about true worship of God. What does it mean to worship God? Why? Because many times this word worship is misunderstood. Okay? And so for several weeks now, you and I have been studying from the book of Malachi what worship means. Now, I saw in the internet a very good illustration why we really need to dig deep and really ask the question, what is worship, at least from the Bible, from God Himself? Well, this illustration says that there's a student from Europe, and he's applying for college in a university in the U.S. So a student from Europe applying for college in the U.S. And this student is very particular. He wrote the registrar and he asked about the course, the tuition fee, the dorm, but he specifically asked the registrar to tell him about the WC. Now, if you are from Europe or you've been to Europe, what's WC stands for in Europe? Water closet. Or, ibig sabihin, CR natin. WC is our CR here, or comfort room, or restroom, or in the U.S., they don't use WC, but they use toilet, restroom, powder room, okay, or comfort room. So he wrote the registrar asking about all of these things, particularly the WC. Now, mind you, in the U.S., they don't use that word or that letters WC for the toilets. So when the registrar read the letter, she asked her staff, "Do you know what WC means?" Well, the staff said, "Ma'am, maybe it means the Westminster Church nearby." Oh, okay. So the registrar wrote back to the student, and this is what she said to the student. Now, this is not toilet humor, huh? Pero it's about WC. So he said, "Dear student, we are glad to inform you that the WC have been here for 3 decades and is just half a mile away from your dorm. It is open 3 times a week, Wednesday evening, Friday evening, and the whole day of Sunday. It has a seating capacity of 1,000. And there's a place for children, for singles, and a special section for couples also. Pang mag-asawa. In the middle of it is a beautiful garden, and it is very conducive for meditation." Do you do that every morning? "And oh, you will love the music that comes out of their pipe organ. And while you're enjoying it, you can raise both your hands. You can sit or you can stand if you like. And lastly, the WC is very meaningful place to me because this is where my husband proposed marriage." You know, many times, just like this situation, we misunderstood what worship really is. And that's why we've been going through the book of Malachi, sharing to us what worship is all about. Some people think worship is simply going to church. Worship is simply singing songs of praise to God. But that's more than that. Worship is more than just coming to church and doing your duty and singing songs. We've been learning that worship is our response, proper response, to who God is and what He has done for you and for me. Worship is our proper response to who God is and what He has done for you and for me. And therefore, we learned in the past few weeks that worship is giving God our best. Now let me ask you, have you given God your best lately? Because worship is giving God our best. I think coming to worship early is giving God our best. Now if you enrolled in GLC, we practice in GLC coming on time. In fact, we teach the students, we tell the students that if you cannot come on time, you must come before the time. You must come before the time. Of course, we allow them to come late, but if you're 15 minutes late, you will be in the detention room. Now, we tell them, since you miss almost half of the class already, you wait for the next session because we take 2 sessions every meeting. And then we just give you the video so you can watch the whole thing in GLC. So, giving God our best is worship. We also learn that we need to take care of our family. And that's worship. Not to forsake the wife of your youth and not to forsake and neglect your children. Pastor Peter gave a wonderful message. And again, I'm convicted that God wants us to develop godly or to raise up godly offsprings. And not to neglect the wife of your youth. Your domestic life is part of worship. We also learned last week that worship is giving. Worship is giving. Giving of our tithes, our possession, back to God. Since He owns everything anyway, and God is saying you can have 90%, majority of it, and then you just give back your tithe to Him. The tenth. Now this morning we're going to look at another component of worship, and that is worship is serving. Worship is serving. And our passage this morning is found in Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. I may ask everyone to please stand up as we read the scripture. May I ask all of you to please read aloud in reverence to the Word of God, in respect to God's Word, and also so that you can understand. Okay? Listening is another thing, but when you read it on your own, you will understand it better. So will you please read from Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Begin. Your words. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You have set apart for us to come, gather together as one family, to serve You, to worship You, to honor You. Father, I pray that as we worship You through Your Word, that You will come and bless us with Your presence, that Your Holy Spirit will teach us and enlighten us, inspire and encourage us, that we may be able to live a life that pleases You as we obey. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Please take your seats. Now here in this passage, we see two types of people, two kinds of persons. The first one is described as the wicked, and the second one is described as the righteous. In fact, they are people who fear God and people who don't fear God, people who follow God and don't follow God, people who serve God and who don't serve God. And we will look at the wicked, the first type of a person. First, the wicked, the unrighteous. And in this passage, they are equally divided. 3 verses on the wicked, 3 verses on the righteous. And it starts out by God saying something about the wicked. God had something against them. And as always, if you have been reading Malachi, last week, God said, I have this against you. You have been robbing me. Okay? You have been robbing me. And today, God is saying, again, something against them. And this time, He said, you slander me. You say things that hurt my feelings. Have you said something lately that hurt someone else's feelings? That's what God is saying. You're saying something that hurts me deeply. Now what are they saying? Well, they're saying something against serving God. And this is what they said. First of all, they're saying, the wicked are saying that serving God is useless. In verse 13, it says, your words have been arrogant against me. That's what God said. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? Okay? Manhid. They don't know what's wrong, what's happening. What have we spoken against you? And God said, you have said it is vain to serve God. These people are saying that to serve God is useless. That when you do ministry, it's useless. Not only are they saying serving God is useless, they're saying that serving God is unprofitable. Number one, useless. Number two, they're saying it's unprofitable. Again, in verse 14, it says, and what profit is it that we have kept His charge? In other words, obeyed you and followed you, and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts. What profit is there if we confess our sins and mourn for what we have done? That's what they're saying. There's no profit in serving the Lord. And lastly, they're saying the wicked are blessed and they go unpunished. It says there in verse 15, so now we call the arrogant blessed, or we call the wicked blessed. Not only are the doers of wickedness built up, in other words, established. The doers of wickedness are established financially. They're wealthy. They're prosperous. They're built up. But they also test God and escape. In other words, they go unpunished. So what are they saying about God? They're saying that God, or serving God, is useless, serving God is unprofitable, and that the wicked who don't serve God are blessed or even more blessed than the others, and they go unpunished. That's what they're saying. And therefore, God is hurt. God is hurt, and that is what they're saying against Him. Now, how can they say these things about serving God or about God? How can these people say these things to God? Before we are quick to judge, you and I must look into why. Because there are times, I believe, if you and I are honest with ourselves, there are times when we said those words also. I've said those words before. But how can they say these things? How can you and I, a common person, say these things about serving God? Well, there are 2 reasons why. Number one, because these people, just like you and me, they have an eye problem. Okay? An eye problem. What do I mean? Well, in Psalm 73, it says, verse 1 to 3, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. It starts out very well. God is good to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, in His own personal experience, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. In other words, I almost fell into sin. For I was envious of the arrogant. Envy comes into his heart when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I think that's where the problem comes. When the person starts seeing or comparing himself with others. Have you started comparing yourself to others? Do you do that? Compare yourself with others? Well, this guy, this person who wrote Psalm 73, is comparing himself especially to the arrogant, to the wicked. And when in, he said in verse 3, I was envious of them. Why? Because I see, that's an eye problem, I see the prosperity of the wicked. And the more you see, the more you have a problem. And here in verse 4, for there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat. Now, I don't think that's something you need to be envious of, but what he's saying is that they are healthy. They're healthy. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace, the garment of violence covers them. In other words, they are established, they're well-to-do, and therefore they're full of pride. They don't need anything, especially God. That's how they behave. Not all rich people behave that way. But here is a man comparing himself with the wicked, and he's saying, I am envious of their prosperity. They have an eye problem. And that's why, in his heart, he made a wrong conclusion. He's looking at the wrong things, and that's what happens when you compare. In verse 13, he concluded, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence, for I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. In other words, samantalang ako, ang dami kong problema. Do you feel that way? When you compare yourself to others, especially to the unbelievers, then you see how blessed they are, while you, being committed to the Lord, you have so many problems. Every day, you go through trials. And so here is the man saying, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. You are prone to say these things because you and I have an eye problem. When we start comparing ourselves with others. Now, how did the psalmist correct this eye problem? Well, praise God, he did not conclude there, or he did not end by saying it's vain to serve God or to keep your heart pure, because in verse 17, he moves on and he said, until I came into the sanctuary of God. That makes the difference. Until I came into the sanctuary of God, until I brought my concern to God, then I perceived their end, referring to the end of the wicked, their final destiny. Verse 18, surely you set them in a slippery place. You cast them down to destruction. That's the end of the wicked. That's their destiny, how they are destroyed in a moment. That's what he learned. That's what he heard from the Lord when he went into the sanctuary. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you arouse, you will despise their form. What's the cure for an eye problem? Well, according to the psalmist, the cure is not to look around, but to look up. Not to look around and compare yourself with others. Instead, look up to God. So will you please tell your neighbor, don't look around, look up. Come on, please tell your neighbor, don't look around, look up. Now just in case your neighbor is sleeping, say, wake up. The cure to having an eye problem is not to look around and compare yourself with others. Instead, look up. See, the problem with comparing, there will always be someone richer than you, but there are others poorer than you. There are always people better looking than you. Well, you're also better looking than many other people. There are others who have more hair than you. And others are blessed with nice head. Don't compare yourself with others. Don't look around. Look up to God. That's the cure to having an eye problem. The second reason why they can say bad things about serving God. Well, because they have a heart problem. The first problem is eye problem. The second one is a heart problem. In Matthew 12, verse 34, it says, you offsprings of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It may come out from the mouth, but it's actually coming from the heart. That they're saying serving God is useless. They're having a heart problem. Do you have a heart problem? This is serious. Maybe compared to having an eye problem, the heart problem is more serious. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's the cure to a heart problem? Well, I submit to you, servanthood. Or serving God by serving others is the antidote for self-centeredness. The cure to our heart problem, which is self-centeredness or selfishness, is start serving God and others. I remember last week, Pastor Peter said, giving is the cure for, do you remember? Giving is the cure for greed. Pastor Peter shared to us that giving to God, giving to others, is the cure for greed. And I submit to you today that serving is the cure for self-centeredness. Because you start looking outside and not at yourself. Servanthood is the antidote for self-centeredness. And that's why today we want to challenge you to go out and serve God by serving others. So how can they say those things against God? Well, because they have an eye problem and they have a heart problem. I hope that you and I know how to cure this problem, because many times you and I will have this in our lives. Then God shifted and gave us a description of the second type of person. And in verse 16, He described them as those who fear the Lord. The first type of people, these are the people who don't serve God. They hate serving God. They think it's vain to serve God. And the second type are those who fear the Lord. And in verse 16, it says that those who fear the Lord spoke to one another. In other words, they gathered together and spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. Though it's not mentioned in the Bible what they spoke about God, but it says there, in a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem His name. Now I submit to you, we may not know, the Bible may not say what they spoke about, but at least a few things are certain. One, the Lord heard it. Two, He wrote about what they said. A book of remembrance was written about it. And I believe, lastly, the Lord liked what He heard. Unlike the first group, God has something against it. He's not happy to hear it. But in this situation, He liked what He's hearing. Ano kayang sinabi nila? Now, before we dig deeper into that, I'd like to take note of the fact that they spoke to one another. These people who fear God, they gathered together and spoke to one another. And I believe that this is what happens when Christians gather together, whether in small group or in large group. When we encourage one another, it is pleasing to God. Here is the power of small groups. People come together encouraging one another. Do you need others? We need others to strengthen us and encourage us in our walk with God. And that's why those who fear the Lord, they did not stop meeting together, encouraging one another. That's why we encourage you, every one of you, every one of us, to be part of a small group where we can encourage one another. There's mutual encouragement, there's mutual accountability, so that together we can grow, together we can serve God. We need small groups. You and I need to be part of a small family that cares for us and takes care of our spiritual well-being. No man is an island. We need one another. The Bible tells us to inspire each other to love and good deeds. And that's what's happening here. These people gathered together, they spoke words of wisdom, words of encouragement, and God is well pleased. Now we don't know what they said, what was talked about. But let me offer you what some godly men in the Bible say about serving God. What do Others say about serving God. We heard the negative side. Now let's balance it with something positive. Let's look at what Abraham has to say about serving God in Genesis 12 verse 1. It says there, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, 'Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you.'" Where is God asking him to go? It was not mentioned. "To a land I will show you." But we know that Abraham obeyed. Abraham followed, though he does not know where he is going or where God is leading him. Will you follow in spite of not knowing where God is leading you? Abraham followed. So if today we are to ask Abraham, "Abraham, what can you say about serving God?" I think this is what he will say. "I will serve God anywhere. I will serve God anywhere. Wherever he leads, I will follow." I think that's what he will say about serving God. What about Joshua? Do you like Joshua? Well, Joshua said this, "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. But as for me, Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Wow. Powerful words. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua is saying serving God is a family affair. Serving God is a family affair. Now, I know that most of you know already, but our core value, one of them, is about husband and wife ministry team. In GLC, we started level 2. Some of you are enrolled there. I hope some of you will eventually enroll. We started level 2, and we started teaching CCF DNA. Mission, vision, and core values. And our core values has the acronym SERVANTS. And the letter N in the word SERVANTS means nurturing family relationship, husband and wife ministry team. Here in CCF, we believe that ministry is a family affair. Husband and wife, together with their children, serving God as one family. That's what Joshua believes. Serving God is a family affair. Do you serve God as a family? Do you serve God as a family? How about Solomon, the wisest man? What can he say about serving God? Well, Ecclesiastes 12:13, this is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God. In other words, at the end of his life, the wisest man said, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." So I think this is what Solomon is saying. Serving God is the meaning of life. The book started out by saying, meaningless, meaningless. Life is meaningless. Yet in the end, at the end of the book, he said, this is the whole duty of man, to serve God. To fear him and him only. Serving God is the meaning, the purpose of life. Not earning millions or billions, but to serve our living God. Daniel. Do you like Daniel? Well, this is what a king during his time has to say about Daniel serving God. In Daniel 6:20, when he had come near the den to Daniel, this is the king, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Daniel constantly served God. Well, so if we ask him today, what will he say? I think this is what he will say. "I serve God anytime, every time." Or maybe he will say, "I will never grow tired of serving God." That's constantly serving God. Not just for a moment, not just for a while, not when I'm young, not when I'm old, not when I retire, but I will serve God constantly. I will never grow tired of serving God. Now, that's not easy to say. I've been serving God for 18 years, full time. And there were many times, just to be open and honest with you, that I grew tired of serving. Less time of grew tired of serving God, but most of the time I grew tired serving people. Do you like serving people? Daniel said, I will never grow tired of serving God. Or, referring to the lion, if you bring to mind, but what about your lion experience? Well, Daniel may say, serving God is something to die for. Something to die for. I don't think God is asking us right now to die for Him. He's simply asking you to live for Him and serve Him. Serving, according to Daniel, is something to die for. Now, here is Daniel's friend. And this is the three friends when they are about to face the fiery furnace. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O King. But even if He does not, take note of that, but even if He does not, let it be known to you, O King, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. That's conviction right there. We will serve no other God but Him. We will serve no other God but Him. How about Isaiah? Well, this is what Isaiah, the prophet, has to say. In verse 5, then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips. Is that how you feel? In other words, I feel dirty, I feel sinful, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar of tongues. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sins is forgiven. Your sin is forgiven. So he started out by saying, I am sinful, I feel dirty, I am not worthy. But God touches his mouth and said, no, I have forgiven you. And then in verse 8, then I heard the voice of the Lord calling Isaiah, saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Can you say those words? Here am I, send me. Some people say, send him, send her, send all of them, but not me. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. What is he saying? Serving God is a privilege. I'm a man of unclean lips. I don't deserve this. But God has given me a wonderful opportunity, a wonderful privilege to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what Isaiah is saying. Serving God is a wonderful privilege. How about Paul? Well, in Philippians 1:21, he said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Serving God is everything. For Paul, serving God is everything. He said, I count everything rubbish. I count everything rubbish. Serving God is everything. Now what about you? What can you say? What do you say about serving God? Are you like the first group of people? Do you say serving God is useless, unprofitable? Or you're like more of the second group, that serving God is a privilege? Well, I hope that at the end of this message, as we look into the scripture and as you allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, that together we will say, God is worthy of my service. That God is worthy of my humble service. Will you say that with me? God is worthy of my humble service. I hope that in your heart you believe that, and that you will say it out loud, and that you will go out and really serve God by serving others. I pray that you would say, all of us in unison would say, that God is worthy of my humble service. That's true worship when we serve God. I remember Pastor Peter saying that worship first touches the heart. May kasama pang action. Worshiping God first touches the heart and then the wallet. That's what he said. Worshiping God I say, touches the heart, also the wallet, but also the lips, and then the hands. What you say and what you do matters to God. That's worship. What you say and what you do is worship. I pray that you will say, God is worthy of my humble service, and that you will actually go out and serve Him by serving others. Now, why is it worth serving God? Why is it worth serving God? And here is the argument given by God. The wicked are saying it's not worth serving God, it's useless, it's unprofitable. But God in this passage gave us at least three reasons why it is worth serving Him. The first reason, He said, because He, God, will remember and reward our service. You and I, when we serve God, it's worth doing that because God will remember and reward our service. In verse 16, a book of remembrance was written for your acts of service. God will put them down as if God is saying, noted. It's in your 201 file. It's there, written about you, what you have done, what others may not have seen, but God saw it and wrote it down. God will remember and will reward you of your service. I saw this in the internet. It says, when I do good, my boss never remembers. When I do wrong, my boss never forgets. Do you agree? Now, not all bosses are like this. Okay? But many times, people forget about the good things you do, the good things I do. But the bad things you do, they will always remember and take it against you. Do you have that experience? All the bad things about you, they know more than you. When I do good, my boss never remembers. When I do wrong, my boss never forgets. But guess what? God is saying, I will remember. I will not forget your good deeds. You know what He will forget? The Bible says, your sins, He will remember no more. When you come clean before God and confess your sins before Him, He said He will forgive your sins. He will wipe away your sins from black into white. He will not forget our deeds, but our sins He will remember no more. Exodus 23 verse 25 says, but you shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. God promised blessing to those who serve Him. What kind of blessing? Well, 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 8 says, for bodily discipline is only of little profit. In other words, running, exercising. Now, there's profit, but compared to godliness, there's only little profit. Now, who among you exercise regularly? Not many. Maybe some of your exercises like this, lifting weights. The Bible says, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life, here in this life, and also for the life to come. There's a promise, not only in the next life. That's for sure, that when you serve God, your eternity is secured. Your eternity is secured. But the Bible is also saying that when you serve God, there's blessings here and now. That's why the psalmist says, I am confident of this, that I will still see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Not just when I die, when I meet Him face to face, but even here and now. It holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Now, before I give you the two other reasons why we ought to serve God, I'd like to call on a brother, Ikoy De Leon, to share with us experience on serving God. Will you please welcome Brother Ikoy?
Good morning. If you met me a couple of years ago, you would probably think that serving in a ministry would be the last thing that I would do. You see, I was spoiled as a child. I grew up in a home that did not put premium in serving others, where household chores for kids and growing adults were not practiced much. This culture, coupled with me being the first grandson in both sides of the family, added more to the selfishness in me. In college, my friends called me Mr. Convenience, as I would always opt for the most convenient approach to any situation. When I started working and earning, this selfishness became worse as I went into drugs and alcohol as a means to escape the emptiness I felt inside. Family problems, career challenges, and relationship struggles brought me to the pits of despair. But this was when my divine appointment with Jesus took place. I attended a singles retreat in Kaliraya, where I surrendered my life to my one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, and came into the sanctuary of God. Soon after, I was invited to a Bible study, which eventually led me to a D group in Makati. As I grew more each day in my walk with Jesus, a burning desire to do something about this newfound relationship with God grew inside me as well. Matthew 12, verse 34 says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." I was looking for an outlet, a way to thank Jesus for what he has done for me. I wanted to show my Savior that I love him and tell people that I was now a disciple of Jesus and to show it to the best of my ability. The Bible says in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will obey my command." John 13, 35 says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." I realized that the key was love. I began to ask myself, how could I show love to the people around me? And I found that the most logical way to do this was to put their needs before my own. To love others, I needed to serve them. But serving is easier said than done. A genuine desire to serve will cost you something. And so I asked myself, what are the things that matter most to me? How can I use my time, my talent, and my treasure for his kingdom? These were the things that I wanted to concentrate on as a sign of worship to my Creator and Savior. It was under this premise that I ventured into serving God through ministry and small group discipleship. I got my feet wet in ministry by being a breakout leader in a singles retreat. And I enjoyed it so much that I started attending all the singles retreat as a volunteer. Then in 2006, the singles core team thought of coming up with a retreat that could accommodate more than 500 participants. They said we needed a new name for it. The Holy Spirit then used me to come up with the name Big Retreat, alluding to the bigness of the planned retreat and, of course, more substantially, to the bigness of what to achieve was to have to be one with God in a weekend. It was then that I was encouraged by the core to take the schedules of creating the needed hype for the retreat. I was tasked with promoting the event so we could achieve the desired number of participants. I said to myself, why not? This was, after all, what I did for a living, being a brand marketing guy. By God's amazing grace, close to 550 people attended the first Big. Soon after, the numbers kept growing for Big 1, Big 2, Big 3, and Big 4. Last November in Big 5, we had 1,100 attendees and workers. Praise God. Praise God. Consequently, the demand for the promotions team also became harder each year. We started out with just 2 people in Big 1, and last year, we had more than 40 volunteers for the promo team alone. Given such a scenario, serving in ministry could be very tough. I even recall one night during the shooting of one of our ad materials, we started around 10 a.m. and ended to 1 o'clock in the morning. I then had to drive from CCF St. Francis to Alabang to get an edited material, bring it back to CCF St. Francis Media around 3 a.m., go home around 4 a.m., sleep for 2 hours, wake up at 6 so I could set up the reg table just in time for the 8 a.m. service. God also allowed me to serve through small groups. I started my D group in 2006 with only a handful of people, and by God's amazing grace, today our Monday Bible study group has grown to about 50 regular members. Thank you. Praise God. In addition to this, I was also blessed to form my own D12. My D12 have walked with me in our journey in encouragement and accountability. Recently, our D12 and my D group have joined forces in coming up with the first ever Makati-based singles retreat, just July 24 and 25, So plugging lang po, if you want to register, our registration table is outside in the lobby. God has also provided me with the opportunity to be part of a church planting movement at CCF Eastwood. Serving in an outreach ministry has been a tremendous blessing as it allows you to see God's hand move in real time and in real lives. Recently, CCF Eastwood celebrated its first anniversary via a one-week celebration aptly titled, I Love. Funny how God has allowed me to come full circle in my journey in ministry. Today, 7 years after my decision to serve, I find myself where I initially wanted to be. And that is to be in a place where I could show love to the people I'm serving. God remembers those who serve Him. And I'm a living testimony of that promise. You see, when I got involved in ministry, the intangible joy of serving rubbed off to my corporate life. This brought joy back to my job. I felt thankful and was content with what the Lord gave me, and I started really to enjoy my work. It took away misplaced expectations and made me more efficient at my job. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for a man." Ministry helped me refocus my life from working for myself for working to the Lord. God does not only remember, but God also rewards. All these promo and marketing activities that we were able to produce gave us a relatively competitive portfolio of credentials. It was my prayer that we would be able to use this church talent and churn out work that would come and help support some of the volunteers and even perhaps contribute to the building fund. It's amazing how the promises of God work with the people who put Him first. Jesus has answered my prayer. One Sunday morning, a Singaporean who was the head of a non-profit NGO attended worship here in CCF St. Francis and saw our big retreat ads. He was impressed. He asked around to find out who made the ads and was pointed to us. The NGO asked us to produce an audiovisual presentation, and they pitched a 6-digit budget, and by God's amazing grace, the client agreed. The project was able to provide additional income to some of the volunteers whom I brought in for the production, but moreover, the net income from the project allowed us to donate a 5-digit sum to the building fund. And that's not all. The client felt that the first project was good and that they awarded us with another project which will start soon. The cost of this new project doubled the amount of the first project. Isn't God amazing? Praise God. Only a God like you. I wanted to worship my Savior and thank Him for what He has done for me. And the way to make this happen is to serve His people in love. Serving Him not only brought material and financial blessings, but more so, the unspeakable joy of being able to bless people through acts of service. Serving God is indeed a privilege, and serving God is indeed everything. I ask for your prayers as I continue to serve Jesus with all of my heart. God is worthy of my humble service. I am Ikoy De Leon, a servant for Christ. To God be the glory.
Praise God indeed. It is worth serving God because God will remember and reward our service. Thank you, Ikoy. And by the way, do you see any similarity? He also served the Lord. Now, if you heard him in his testimony, if you put a one-liner after his testimony, what will that be? About service, about serving God. I think Ikoy is saying, serving God is loving God. If you love God, then you will serve Him. And it is worth serving God because God will remember and God will reward our service. Second, because God will treasure and treat us as His children. When you serve God, God will treasure us and treat us as His children. Verse 17, it says, "They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession." He will call us His own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. When you and I serve God, He treats us as His sons and daughters. I tell you, God is a good boss. That's what Ikoy is saying. After serving God, he found joy and therefore went back to his work and started looking at his work, not to do the work for his earthly boss, but to do his work for his heavenly boss. And I tell you, God will prove himself to be a better boss. Why? Because he loved us. And that's what Malachi says. Right from the very beginning, in Malachi chapter 1, God said, I have loved you, and I treat you as my own. You will be my priceless possession. Why? Because he was willing and he died for us. He paid for you and for me. He paid the penalty. He purchased you from sin. He purchased you from darkness. You are important to God. He's a good boss. You know, early on in life, I learned that three major decisions will impact your life greatly. Three M's. Number one, who to marry. Okay? Some of you are regretting already. Who to marry will impact your life greatly. Second, what's your mission in life? What's your mission in life? Third, the most important one, who is your master? I submit to you, God will eventually prove himself to be a better boss, to be a better master. Why? Because he will treasure you. You see, it's not all about performance. It's not all about the things you do. God is not after your work or your service, your ministry. God is after you, that he sent his own son to die for you and for me, to pay the penalty of our sins. And John 1:12 says, as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, have you done that? Are you related to this good boss? He's not just your boss. He is your Father, our Heavenly Father. And it's worth serving this kind of a Father. One who loves you, one who treats you like a priceless possession. You are mine, my own possession. And then lastly, it's worth serving God because God will divide and distinguish us from those who don't serve. Verse 18 says, so you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. You know, when I went to Korea for the prayer tour, by the way, that's one of the most powerful, impactful event in my life. That prayer tour changes my life. Why? Because in that prayer tour, we were taught how to pray. I remember two things we were taught about prayer. Number one, they taught us to pray without ceasing. The Koreans taught us to pray and never stop praying until God answers. You don't stop. God will stop and tell you the answer. Whether it be yes, no, or wait. If he says wait, keep praying until God will answer. Pray without ceasing. And the second thing they taught us there, when you pray, ask God to make a distinction. Ask God to make a distinction. That God will separate, distinguish the believer and the unbeliever. Those who love God and those not who love God. Those who serve God and those who don't. And that's how Abraham prayed in Genesis 18:25. He appealed to God. He said, far be it from you, O Lord, to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Abraham is saying, don't treat them the same way. Lord, you make a distinction. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly? And God is saying, yes, I will. One day, I will make the distinction. I will divide the sheep from the goat. Those who belong to me, those who are mine. And I will make a distinction. I will make a distinction. Will you serve God? Will you serve him only? As I close, I'd like to give you a video, and then I will give my final challenge. Let's watch this video.
Sinigay ko to sa MCM. Dito naman sa Quezon City, sa isang resto bar sa Quezon City. Yeah.
Hindi na magsamayaw ang lahat sa panonood, lalo pang nagkagulo ang lahat nang ideklarang champion si Manny.
Do you remember yourself doing that? Whenever Manny Pacquiao wins the fight, do you remember cheering for him, happy for him? Those were wonderful moments for us Filipinos. We're full of pride. When you look at the video, you see one man fighting while the others are cheering. And that, I think, is a commentary, a very sad commentary, not just about the church, but also about our country. Did you attend the inauguration of our president, new president? Who among you attended that? You were not invited also? Everybody, their eyes are on our new president. They're hoping that by changing the president, we can change this country. They're hoping that he will indeed fulfill his promise, and I hope he will. Let's pray for him. He said, you, kayo daw, tayo. Tayo ang kanyang boss. You are my boss. But in reality, everyone is expecting him to perform, while the others are sitting on the sideline, just like the fight of Manny Pacquiao. In the church, everybody is expecting the pastor, the leaders, to do the work of ministry. And everybody cheered. Everybody cheers when the pastor is doing great. But that's not the design of God. This country will not be changed through one man, but through the effort of every Filipino. Our church, the kingdom of God, will not be built up just by a few, but by everyone who loves God. My final challenge is this. There's a ministry for everyone. There's enough ministry for all of us. Are you burdened with the children? There's Sunday school, high school students, campus ministry. There's the J-Zone, the singles ministry. There's something for couples, for the poor, for the street children. You have a good smile. Exalt team is looking for 500 ushers. We're preparing for our building out there. 500, you may be one of them. Do you have a good smile? Come and volunteer. GLC is looking for content specialists, researchers, facilitators. But our main ministry in CCF is the small group, so that when people gather in the small group, we can encourage one another, that we can all the more serve God together, zealously obeying Him. I challenge you, sign up now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, forgive us when our hearts say that it's not worth serving you. Help us to have a change of heart, that like Joshua, from this day forward, we will serve you, you and no other. Like all the other godly men, help us to have the courage to just do what you want us to do, to serve you with all our hearts, our mind, our soul, and our strength. For you have said that you will not only remember, but you will reward us. Your love is more than enough reward, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.